All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is April the 29th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. Literally a beautiful day. I mean, like 85. Summer's back. It's awesome. We've been waiting. I am super thrilled. We had a big wedding on Saturday for my stepdaughter, which was awesome, but it was freezing. I felt so bad for him, right? Had that beach wedding. It's like 50 degrees. It was a shame. But everybody, they're married and then they're happy, and it was a success. Everybody's good. So check that off. But man, big shift in the weather. Very hot today. I don't know. I haven't really paid much attention if it's going to keep it going up and down, but we are headed to May, and you know, May is usually a good month for summer, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, back into the studio, trying to figure it all out, folks. I am, I shared the other day, I think, that I've moved the studio. I have my new studio up in my house. It's very echoey, echoey in here, which is kind of bizarre, sort of throwing me off. And then it was weird. I came in the other day and sort of did a podcast, sounded fine, had everything set up, and then came in to do one yesterday, and nothing worked. And I was like, oh my God. So I feel like it's, I'm not going to say it was a bunch of devils, right? But I don't know. Sometimes it's weird. These things come at you, and I just didn't, I'm like, you know, forget it. I'm not going to do this anymore. And, but I persisted, and I worked on it, and I figured it out. I do not understand why, how it became non-usable all of a sudden. Nobody has apparently or supposedly touched my stuff. I do have kids, so who knows? But it worked one day, did a podcast, posted it, came back the next time to try to do one, and it wouldn't work. And so I don't know what that's about. But I'm going to just have fun with it and say it's just some spiritual devil coming at me, trying to shut me down. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work. That's a fun story. Who knows? It's probably just some cable or wire. But there are times when things like that happen, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just not going to do the podcast. And that day, I just said I'm not going to do it. And then I came up here yesterday and really worked on it and got it. I fixed it. And so here I am. Hopefully it sounds good. We will test. This is another test to see how it sounds. And but yeah, it is Monday, back to work, even though I am not back to work. My whole life right now has been like thrown in a bucket, shooken up, and then dumped out. And I have been super uncomfortable. I'm not feeling very serene, right? I'm not feeling very peaceful, very inconvenienced. Everything is going every different direction. And so I'm just trying to push through it. Luckily, doing everything the right way, I think, right? I've shared shutting down the salon. My lease ends on the 31st, I guess, so Wednesday. It is empty, right? It's empty. We've spackled it. We have taken everything out of it. There is a couple pieces of art that I bought from the Mad Splatter back in the day. Some of that splatter art. It's cool. Do I want it over here? I don't know, right? I've sort of been kind of incorporating all of my salon crap into my house. And some of it's okay. Some of it is not going to be able to make the cut. So, but yeah, it's just been, you know, everything's been up in the air. But I do have the salon cleared out. It's spackled, so whoever's going to take it over needs to paint it. I'm hoping that I'll get my deposit back. I'm feeling, right, this negative voice inside me is like, they're not going to give it to you, and yada, yada, yada. Part of me is like, okay, I don't really care. Whatever. Keep it. Don't keep it. I'm not going to let it stress me out. But at the same time, right, I do want to get what is coming to me, which should be my deposit, which I put down like 15 years ago. Two different owners. No, a different owner now. And, yeah, we'll see what happens. So that's sort of where I'm at. And then on the other side of that, is I've been working at a new place, which has really been uncomfortable because it's new. I've been doing the same thing now for 15 years or 14 years. And, yeah, it's just readjusting. A lot of weird old sort of behaviors are sort of creeping into my life. I'm sort of trying to, you know, I'm asking all my new clientele to come basically from a different town over to this new town, which is 5 minutes away, right? It's not even that far, but we are dealing with more traffic, right? And definitely more seasonal traffic. And I feel bad. I feel bad about it. And, you know, one of the things that I'm doing is that I'm acting like every client has to come there every day. And that's not the case. When a person comes to see me, if it's a haircut, a men's haircut, maybe 4 or 5, 6 weeks, every 4 or 5, 6 weeks, right? Color, you know, something like that, 4 or 5, 6 weeks. So it's not like they're coming every day, but I keep putting this guilt on myself, like I'm making them come to the salon every day and go through this traffic. And I don't know what that's about. I don't know. It's creating fear and it's creating anxiety, and I'm not feeling very peaceful, and that's not good. But I have noticed over the few days that I've worked there 4 days now, and I really like the place. I really like the folks that are working there. I do feel like it is sort of moving up because they have a great salon and it's super cute. And everybody that's come there has liked it, but I had a cancellation today. I'm like, oh my God, he probably canceled because he hates the location, right? It's going to be a thing and I need to stop it. So I'm telling on myself. I'm telling, stop doing that. Stop projecting, Tom, because that is exactly what I'm doing. I'm projecting people's feelings and then living in them, and that is not good. Yeah, we'll try again this week. It is Monday, like I said, and back to work tomorrow. Super excited about that. Busy week, got a full week. I'm also having to deal with payroll. Even though at this point, as I closed down the salon, I was the only person working there, I've always, you know, sent in my earnings, right, my numbers to payroll, and then payroll has cut me a check because I have always been afraid of taxes, right? Money is scary to me, so I always try to make sure my taxes are covered. That way I just, you know, do what I'm supposed to do at the end of the year and everybody's happy. But payroll reached out to me and they said, we can't do your payroll. You're not a business anymore. And I was like, I know, but I was hoping you could do something. And I don't know, they're supposed to give me a call. And then I'm like, well, maybe I could figure it out on my own, right? And then I start getting a little stressed out. So we'll have to see what happens. But these are all good problems, right? I set up in my new studio, which is pretty freaking awesome. I love this room. And just really, really grateful. Setting Sun, new Pearl Jam. What a freaking great song. What a great album. Pearl Jam for old people. I might laugh, but actually this album, I'm so excited. It's so good. I've actually really been loving it. So That is Setting Sun, Pearl Jam. So check that out if you feel like it. So yeah, back to the week, you know, starting all over again, right? Last week I shared, I'm really fascinated, and I've been thinking about it a lot, and this new revelation. But last week, the Monday night meeting, we did the 12 step, and that a lot of times people will just read that step in two parts because it's pretty long, it's a pretty big read, and so we read the first half, and then I guess tonight we'll probably read the second half, and it's amazing. And the problem with the 12 step is I'm not sure. I don't know how many people even get there, unfortunately. I know I've been there. I remember my first time around doing the 12 step. And yeah, I mean, it's a great read, right? Great concept. Having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, our job now is to be there for the next alcoholic. And, I heard be there for the next alcoholic, right? That's always what, because I think, and it happens a lot, you know, we find recovery, we find this freedom, right? This peace, right? Just stopping drinking brings a whole lot of great feelings. And we want to run to the mountaintops and scream from the hills, right? Recovery, sobriety, it's amazing. And it is, but unfortunately, a lot of people aren't really, unless you're like, right, into it, right? Unless you've had that absolute humiliation, complete devastation, most people aren't that interested in getting sober. And they talk about pulling the people off the bar stools, right? You know, most people aren't that open to it. But what I become really fascinated with is having had this spiritual awakening, right? I've heard about it. I remember thinking, have I had a spiritual awakening, right? The burning bush, the, you know, whatever it is that comes our way that is just this sign, this symbol, this you know, beacon of light that God is here. And as much as I've searched for it, I've never seen it. I have never seen it. But what started happening, and I hate to sort of repeat this, but it's really comes down to this, is just this place living without fear. And when we find it, right? Because first we got to identify all of the fear and what starts it, what creates it, right? How much we carry around with us, right? How much fear is from the past? How much fear is in the future? When they talk, you know, stay in the day. Why? Because if we do, we're pretty safe here. If I start to, you know, project like I have been doing, right? I get afraid. And that's what's been going on all this week. I have not been having a relationship with God this week. I've been having a relationship with self. And I haven't had to pick up a drink over it, right? I haven't had to, you know, yell or do anything stupid at my family or kids or friends, but I've just been miserable, right? And feeling very lost. And it's all because I have been living in fear. And people say, hey, what do you mean fear? I don't understand. It's this fear, right? I have this side of me, this selfish side, and this selfish side always wants something, right? Just can never be satisfied. I remember as a kid, and I've shared this before, but when I look back at it, so one of the signs that would sort of give me an idea later on that I was a self-centered asshole is that I remember eating pizza at the soccer club party, and I remember making sure everybody got a piece, right? And I remember counting, right? How many pieces are left? Am I going to get one, right? Self wants another. It's the same way with everything. Oops, sorry. It's the same way with everything that goes on in my life. It's this self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. What is humility? The opposite, right? Of too much self becomes nasty, right? You become afraid, and that's what I've been doing. It's all week, all month, really. All month this month I've been living in fear. And it's sort of been exhausting. And you know, what am I afraid of, right? Clients not coming, me not getting my money, me not being able to clean this place out, me not being able to get everything that I want to get done, right? Me. And it's been brutal. Good thing is that I'm really actually doing pretty good when it comes as far as the procrastination, right? I've actually, because I could easily procrastinate a bunch of times on this one. And luckily, I should actually give a shout out to my buddy Rick and my buddy Tony. They actually are the ones that did all the work. I had to pay them. I got to pay them, right? I had that luxury, but they came and basically got all of this stuff. It was really, I had a lot of shelves, right? Shelves, shelves, shelves. And so they came in and basically helped me take all those shelves down, loaded them up in trailers, hauled them around. You know, I got to give credit to those two guys because they really saved my ass. But, you know, we got it all done. I just went by, I just dropped Sam off to his grandmother's, and I went by the salon. I'm like, maybe I need to swing by there one more time to see what else I can grab. And it's empty. It's empty and it's clean. It's been spackled. Everything that I was supposed to do, I have done, right? And so I'm sitting here, and it is the 29th. I have two more days, and I'm ahead of the game, right? I'm ahead of the game. But I've just been, so what does that mean? I make up new fear, right? I make up new shit. And now I'm worried, are they going to give me my money, right? My deposit. I don't even actually remember what it was, actually, 14 years ago when I made the damn deposit. But am I going to get it back, right? And so this is, I don't know, anytime I read the 12-step in my second attempt at recovery, I have learned so much about what a spiritual awakening is. Having had a spiritual awakening. And, you know, now I'm like so fascinated by all of it, right? You know, what is love, right? Oh, I love you. Now my whole new, what I've learned through this experience now is that for me, love is God, right? Love is peace. Love is this place free of fear. You get moments of it, right? I remember, you know, it happens, right? I usually live in a pretty decent spot, right? Not too much fear comes creeping in, but it's this place of love. And then I'm like, well, what about people like that you tell them that you love them? I love you, right? And so what does that mean? Does that mean if you love somebody that relationship doesn't create fear? Because now I'm like, shit, well, basically all the times I've ever said I love you was always because I was afraid I would lose them, right? Or, I don't know, it's like all of a sudden it's just really changed my whole outlook at the word love and fear and peace and God. And I don't know, the problem is that going through this, like if someone had sat there and told me all this before, I'd be like yawning, whatever. Mm-hmm, I hear you. But then when you go through it, right, when you finally go through these steps and work them all out and come out on the other side and you're like, this has always been about fear, right? This has always been about self. And then the light goes off and then you're like, oh my God. And then you want to tell everybody. And not everybody is there. Not many people are even there. I mean, I know people that have more time than me and sponsor more people. And I don't think they have any clue, right? And that's their business. That's me kind of, I guess, taking their inventory. But I'm wondering, because when I started to feel like I was understanding it and it started to become clear, I just want to talk about it, right? I just want to tell people, oh my God, it's been about fear this whole time. I haven't realized. I thought it was just because I drank too much, right? It's about fear and it's about serenity. And when we get to that place, when we start to find serenity, we get to that place where we really aren't afraid. And then a new feeling comes in, and it's one that nobody ever told me about, right? Nobody's ever written down. I thought a relationship with God was a one-on-one conversation at any moment of my day. It's not the case, at least for me. But every time I see someone thinking they're having one, I'm like, I don't know. And then I think about people that talk about how God speaks through them or God speaks through me. And I'm like, what does that even mean? But I can tell you what, when a shortcoming or a character defect comes creeping back into my life, because that's what I've learned, it seems like that's the only thing that takes me away out of this place are these character defects, right? These self-centered moves. And when those happen, right, whether it's, you know, getting in an argument or having bad feelings or having inappropriate thoughts or saying something we shouldn't say, whatever it is, right, that kicks us out of that peaceful place, and we have to take it and we have to address it, then it's like, is that how God speaks to me? It's like, do better, man, because if you do better, we'll get back to that peaceful place, right? So I'm blown away by the whole freaking thing, to be quite honest with you. And And it is cool, but I also have to make sure that I don't overthink it, because who overthinks itself, right? It's very, it's like walking on eggshells with this whole thing I'm finding. And but I do think it's really cool. It's super cool. I mean, I'm loving it. I love it. Problem is that now that when you talk about stuff like this, people that aren't there, right, they think you act like a guru, right? And I shared about my buddy that gave me the phone call and chewed me out. You know, I ran into him at a meeting and I said, listen, you know, you and I should not be fighting. We should not be arguing. This should not be a problem. And I have a lot of respect for you. We've been friends for a long time and I appreciate our friendship. And maybe we should try to get coffee or sometime or something like that. And but I think what's happening, you know, for this guy, and I will obviously keep him anonymous, is that in the 30 or however many years he's been sober, he's not worked the steps. And that's okay, right? That is not a diss on him. Because I do think you can come into this program and you can basically bury yourself into these meetings and stay sober. And the definition of sober is to be free of drink. And I think that is absolutely possible. And you can get time. But he also, I think, uses this as a social event. You know, I think all of the interactions he does with people are at, you know, meetings, goes probably 2 meetings a day, every day. And I think he stays sober because there's, you know, it's just, he's done it long enough. It's just become sort of a habit. But it's not, he hasn't found the spiritual awakening clearly, right? And which is a bummer. And I'm just getting a little bit of a glimpse of it. I'm still far from perfect, right? I am nowhere, I shouldn't even say perfect. I'm far from, I got a lot of work to do, right? It's really just about practicing and keep working on it and trying to stay in that peaceful place for longer periods of time, right? Because like I said, I haven't really been in it all week. I've been consumed in self. And even though the weeks felt good, I've had trouble. Like I've sat down and tried to do this podcast a couple of times. I can't get my thoughts out. I'm just overwhelmed with self, and it's not a great spot to be in. So, but anyway, we will go back to the meeting tonight, and I will see my buddy, and I will shake his hand immediately and tell him hello. I did go to a meeting the other night on Friday, I guess, and a guy spoke, very powerful message. Problem is, the guy spoke for 40 minutes. Ooh, it was long, and it was very slow pace, share, right? With these big pauses in between the words. And I was like, oh my God, this guy's going to, I'm going to go crazy. But I just try to really, at first I tried to recognize it, what's bothering me about this. And then just realize, man, this is a guy's message. He had 2 sons that have both died. One was killed in a car accident drunk. And then his other son died of an overdose. I cannot imagine that. Losing my boys like that, that would just, I don't know if I could go on. I mean, I'm sure I would go on, right? But I don't even like to think about that. And so his message was really powerful, and I appreciated it. But he spoke for 40 minutes, and that was a long share, and it sort of drug on a little bit. And but, you know, I think that what I took from that was, you know, regardless, you know, I'm always, my life is so good, right? Which can be dangerous, right? But there's always these moments we never expect that can happen, and we have to, hopefully I am, you know, in a good place. Like I said, I've never experienced that kind of debt. My mom passed, that was a big deal, but I, you know, I wasn't a victim of it, right? And his guy wasn't a victim of his kids dying either. It was just how, in fact, I was surprised how cool and calm he was about that. But he wasn't a victim of it, right? He, unfortunately, right, it's just part of the deal sometimes. And but yeah, it was a powerful message. But I guess what I took from that was, you just got to keep going, right? You got to keep on going. And eventually, hopefully things get better. And it seems like it has for him. It was a very powerful message. I really appreciated it. I'm grateful to be sober today. And I did not share. I'm also trying not to share as much. And see, this is I'm feeling like can be a little dangerous, because I, you know, I got annoyed by what that guy said to me. And so now I'm like, well, I'm not going to share anymore. And I'm like, well, that's silly. You got to share. But now I'm like, do I, you know, should I maybe, do I share too much? Could be. Then I'm like, how do I share without sounding like that I've worked these 12 steps and I found the spiritual awakening and I'm full of glory and hope and happiness? How do I share that way? I don't know if I can. So I'm just sort of limiting what I say and just keeping it, you know, just listening. The other thing I've been doing a little bit of is not reading along when we read and just listening and passing on reading. I get tired of reading, so I'm just listening. And it's been great. It's been really good. So that's what's going on. I'm going to try to do something cool. May 13th, a friend of mine, Tracy, I don't know her last name. I'll get all the details, but she wrote a book called, it is called Pretty Wrecked. And Tracy, I don't know her last name, but apparently she's really a cool lady. And she's going to be in town on May 13th. And so she's going to come do a podcast with me. My wife, my friend, a client of mine, brought me this book. And she goes, my friend wrote this great book. It's called Pretty Wrecked. And she goes, maybe your wife would like it. I go, okay. And so I gave it to my wife. My wife's downstairs right now reading that book. She loves this book. And let me say, it's called Pretty Wrecked. And I think if you look it up on Amazon, you'll find it. I think her name is Tracy something. I will get all those details. But she's going to come to a podcast with me. I do another podcast, or I used to do another podcast called the Rehoboth Social, which is one small business helping another. It's still up. It's still active. I just haven't really, I sort of backed off on finding people and took a break from it. But I am interested. So we'll probably, I may do that podcast with her and post it on this one just because I want to promote her book. And, you know, because it's funny, not everybody, you know, a lot of people would like to get sober, but a lot of people don't want to use AA, right? I know people, even my buddy, right? He'll quote any philosopher, any writer, any person with some sort of alternative thinking over the 12 steps, right? He has 100 different people that he can quote, but he can't quote anything out of the big book, right? Some people just don't like using the 12 steps of AA, which I understand. And that's fine. So there's always alternatives. I hope that people can find them. My wife is not a huge fan of the 12 steps of AA. Maybe because I go, I don't know, but she is sober. And so I thought this would be a great alternative for her to read the stories about somebody else's journey through recovery. And so she's reading the book. She says it's so good. So hopefully I'll get to read it, but this girl's going to come on to the podcast. And let me see if I can actually, let's see. Let me look on Amazon and see if this book is on here, just so I could say her name. So I'm going to the Amazon app. I'm going to type in the top Pretty Wrecked, R-E-W-R, Pretty Wrecked book. Yep, here it is right here. So her name is Tracy Viola, and the book is Pretty Wrecked, 5 stars, and it's $17, and check it out. It says, are you or is someone you love struggling with addiction or alcoholism? Do you want to make a big or lasting life change but don't know where to start? My name is Tracy. I'm a recovering addict and alcoholic. Pretty Wrecked is my story about how I got and stayed sober. Yeah. And she's going to come do a podcast with me. She's going to actually be in town. And so she's going to come up in the studio up here, level 2, floor number 2, and sit down and do a podcast. And I think I'm going to try to do it for the Rehoboth Social. But like I said, I'll probably post it on this podcast as well. But go check out her book, man. If you're not sure what you are. And I am starting to become surprised at the amount of people that are listening to this podcast. I had a client the other day who was like, yeah, I listen to your podcast. I'm like, really? Oh, that's cool. You know, I'm grateful, right? I'm very grateful. And, but I told her, I said, listen, I don't advertise. I don't, you know, this isn't about, I sort of come from the, and I love what she's doing, right? I love that. But I sort of come from the idea that I just want to share and, try to help that I can. I am not interested in creating revenue. I have a job, but I do appreciate the people that do. I think that's awesome, but I told her I don't do a lot of advertising or anything, so it's going to be pretty vanilla. But I'm very excited. She seems like a very cool lady, and I know my wife likes the book, so check it out. Pretty Wrecked. And I have nothing to do with that. This is just a client of mine's friend who wrote a book, and she told me about it, and that's where we are. And so I don't make any money. This isn't about anything about me. This is about her, and I love it. Let me read the daily reflections. I'm going to get out of here. Let's see. Hopefully this podcast sounds all right. I hope it's not echoey. I got to figure that out. But the devil's been coming at me. Don't do the podcast. The equipment's not working. It's just been terrible. So this is me pushing through. All right. April 29th, group autonomy. Some may think that we have carried the principle of group autonomy to extremes. For example, in its original long form, tradition 4 declares, any two or three gathered together for sobriety may call themselves an AA group, provided that as a group they have no other affiliation. But this ultra liberty is not so risky as it looks. AA comes of age, pay 104, 105. As an active alcoholic, I abused every liberty that life's afforded. How could AA expect me to respect the ultra-liberty bestowed by Tradition 4? Learning respect has become a lifetime job. AA has made me fully accept the necessity of discipline and that if I do not assert it from within, then I will pay for it. This applies to groups too. Tradition 4 points me in a spiritual direction in spite of my alcoholic inclination. And then it has a little asterisk. This is a misquote. Bill is referring to the third tradition, which I thought was the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. So I don't know. Check that out. But hey, thanks for letting me share. I really appreciate it. I'm going to get better, and we'll talk later. Bye.